Welcome to another edition of the Superflight Podcast, your Sweetwater NBA podcast. Today is Monday, December 5th, 2016, and I'm your host, Joe Borelli, as usual. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back. It's been a short week with two sort of back-to-back shows. Not back-to-back, but it's been less than a week. So for me, it's back-to-back because I have so little time to do this. We're just going to say it's back-to-back. How's it going, everybody out there in podcast land? See, I would say radio land here, but, you know, we're not actually on the radio. Just want to say hi, do a little talking before we get going. Today, Michael Keith of the Fuzz NBA podcast in Australia will be here in New York, and he's actually going to visit in the studio in a little bit coming up. And we're going to talk about some NBA. We're going to talk about some Australian players and talk about his fandom and how that happens when you're Australian and you've become a huge fan of the NBA. Just, you know, things to think about. In the meantime, let me share a little bit of my day with you. It's a beautiful sunny day in New York City. The weather is fair. It's actually pretty nice for December. I think it's like 50 degrees outside. It's crazy. Went for a nice run this morning. Fell a little bit short of my projected goal for myself, but, you know, I still got 5 miles in. I have this real bad pain in my left leg, though, for some reason. Weird. I should maybe get that checked out. But then, you know, whatever. I'm getting old. These things happen. I guess pains are just inevitable, and eventually I'll just be dead, so it'll be fine. And that's all. That's a very uplifting thought. Sorry. excuse me. Well, I wanted you guys to know that if there was a little jump there, it was because I just went on a rant about some things that are happening politically in the country and, with the Dakota Pipeline and the Ku Klux Klan march in North Carolina and the whole Trump thing. But I'm not going to put that out there because I'm going to make everyone hate me, except for if you support the KKK. Please stop listening to me right now. I never want to hear from you. And please don't ever listen to the show again and just go away. Seriously, not just from this podcast, but from everywhere. If you're a fan, just go to hell. Thanks. Okay, there's my public service message. Sorry, I just want you to know that I'm recording over all that shit that I said because I was really heated and upset, and I don't want to go on a political rant. But it does seem to me like all over the world we're experiencing a little bit of a globalism backlash, where, you know, Brexit happened this summer. London or the UK decided to pull out of the EU. And then now Italy, their prime minister has just resigned because they decided to vote down some legislation that would make it easy to get things done and help them be part of the EU better. And they are like, nope, we're not having it. We want to be our own thing again. And now they're probably going to, like them in Berlin, not Berlin, Germany and maybe France, I think, are thinking about pulling out of the EU too. So we're seeing this all over the world. It's not just here. I think that in general, anytime you do something forward and progressive or, you know, anything, like, it's scary. It's scary. And I'm trying to take a very measured approach to this whole worldwide phenomenon of people pulling back and not wanting to include other people. I think it's a little bit, you know, people get scared. Let's just wrap it up with that. Let's just equate it to that. You know, it's frightening when progress happens very slowly. You take baby steps and sometimes you take steps back. But I have faith in humanity to a certain extent that we're going to be able to move forward and that things will get better and hopefully we'll all come together. And I'm not going to say the crazy shit that I was saying earlier because I was not measured and was not cool. I ranted. So you guys will never hear that because I just recorded over it. Anyway. I just wanted to say, you know, it's a crazy, crazy world we live in. But let's hang out together and be good to each other. Again, this is my message of positivity, always going forward. That's it. What else? You know, so it's Christmas time is getting near, and you know, people are stressed out like myself because we don't have a whole lot of money or time to devote to, you know, buying gifts. And I do this. You know, I have a full-time job and I do this podcast on the side as best as I can because I want to put out a good product for you guys. And I hope you're enjoying it and I hope you like listening. I am by no means a master of the NBA, but I like to learn and I'm learning a little bit every day. Hopefully you're learning with me. So here's my gift to you. It's this podcast. There you go. Merry Christmas. So I am devoting a lot of time. So the only thing I want in return from you guys is actually nothing, but reach out and say hi. You know, text me, tweet me. No, don't text me. I'm not giving you my phone number. I keep saying this, but I'm still not giving you my phone number. I mean, maybe one or two of you all give my phone number too, if you're really nice. But most of you could just tweet at me. Tweet, say hi. Let me know your thoughts on whatever it is that I say that offends you or pleases you. And, you know, join the conversation. Let's talk about some Sixers, because that's what I like to do. And let's talk about some NBA, because I like to do that too. And talk about the Metallica album that I reviewed last week horribly, because I like to do that too. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with the show, there's a couple of ways to do so. And I think I may have missed this last week, but it's okay, because, you know, if you listen, you already listen, so it's stupid. But here we go. You can follow the show on Twitter at SuperFlightPod. You can follow me personally at Joe Borelli on Twitter. You can email the show at SuperFlightPodcast, thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow along on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, and anywhere else that you can listen to podcasts. It's readily available at all on all mediums, all formats, I think. I know there's people listening all over the world. Hi, Russia. I've noticed. Thanks for listening. You get the weekly around the world shout out. And St. Petersburg specifically. I have ways of tracking these things. I know. And so what else? I don't know. I think, you know, things are going to be all right. So coming up next, we have Michael Keith from the Fuzz NBA podcast in Australia, and he's going to be in Brooklyn in the studios. First guest I've had in the studio in quite some time, since the summer, I think. It's been mostly over Skype these days, but it's going to be fun to have somebody here talking with me in the little Brooklyn apartment studio. Studio apartment? Which way would you say that? Either way, it doesn't matter. So anyway, hang tight. Michael's coming right up, and I'll be right back. Well, so we're back. Michael Keith, and Fuzz NBA podcast from Australia in Brooklyn. What's up, man?
Well, I'm just happy that I made it in one piece, Joe.
Yeah, me too. That would have been tragic if you didn't.
Yeah.
How was your trip, by the way?
The trip was good. We went via LA, so I've been in the States the last couple of days, just acclimatizing. And yeah, it's been good.
Nice. Nice. Tell everybody how to get in touch with you, and tell them about your podcast that I like listening to.
Okay, so I'm one half of The Fuzz, and you can basically get to us if you go to thefuzznba.com. That links to our Twitter, our Facebook, and our SoundCloud, and yeah, that's probably the best way.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, you hear people just like read out and list all these different things. It's just like, man. Just, you find us.
Yeah, you're pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Boy, I don't know if I'm a little hot there. Ooh. I'll just sit back. So tell me about your, I'm really curious. So, okay, I work with an Australian dude. Very nice guy. Very smart. I have never met an Australian I don't like.
Oh, that's nice.
So don't start. Don't be the guy. No. Yeah, he's a very smart guy, but like I asked him a little bit before about like basketball. He's like, he doesn't know anything about basketball, and it just seems to me like, how do you get to be an NBA fan? Because like he's into football, and I think that happens by just being here because everybody loves football. But how do you get into the NBA in Australia? I don't even understand.
I guess there's probably a small kind of I wouldn't call it small. It's an under what's the word, like an underground following.
Okay.
For the most part, but the NBA is getting a lot bigger over there. You know, obviously players that are born in Australia that are starting to make it, starting to do well,
that helps.
That's the main thing. For me though, and some of my friends, I don't know, we just loved it from the 90s, like Michael Jordan, basketball cards, Shaq. It's like it was just a progression. And then I guess one key thing that happened is one of the free-to-air television stations started playing games live. And so for us, that's at around between 9 and 11 in the morning, depending on if it's an East Coast or a West Coast game. Yeah. So it's kind of good if you're unemployed and sitting at home doing nothing. And that's how we got into it, because Channel 1, and if you're listening back at home, you'll remember this, they started playing games, and so we started watching. Where all of a sudden we were able to get full access, full content.
Okay.
Previous to that, all you could get was if you had Foxtel, which not everybody really does, which is like a it's like our cable, but it's really expensive and not good.
Right. Okay.
They have ESPN, and you'd get games on ESPN, but selective and not, you know, not a lot of content. So yeah, but that's probably the start of it. And then from there we just went, all right, cool. Like,
just run with
let's get League Pass because we're into it now. We don't want to miss a beat. So,
yeah.
You know, that's probably going back 5 or 6 years when I really started to get become a super fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super fandom is weird, man. Like, either you're that guy that nobody wants to talk to at a bar or you get your own podcast. or both.
Yeah. I was going to say or both.
That's, yeah, just, it's so weird to me because, like, the only other Australian person I know that watches basketball religiously is obviously, like, Liela's from the Starters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody knows him.
Yeah.
And it just always amazed me, like, how did he get into the NBA? Because I hearing that guy talk, it's all, you know, cricket, I guess, is really big.
Yeah, cricket's pretty big. And, you know, cricket's over our summer and the NBA is over our summer. So it's kind of competes a little bit, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And look, like you said, a lot of Australians are into football, rugby league,
right.
AFL. They're the two major codes in Australia. Our national basketball league's kind of always just been scratching the surface. It's almost like it's almost been canned a few times, as in just kiboshed.
Oh, really?
But it's had some really decent sponsorships lately, so it's starting to get good again. And I think that's also coming off the back. We've got some NBA teams are actually putting some of their development players into the NBL. And even some veterans are starting to come. Like, we just had Steve Blake join the Sydney Kings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so stuff like that's helping as well.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Steve Blake, huh?
Yeah.
That's where he's at?
Yeah. You didn't even realize he wasn't on NBA roster, right?
No idea.
You just thought he was a third string point guard somewhere.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, he's got to be hanging out on some team's roster, right?
Yeah.
He's been around forever. That's cool. So you guys flew in, just real quick about your trip. I'm just curious about this whirlwind vacation, I guess, you're going on.
Yeah.
So you just decided to come to the States for vacation? And
well, it was my girlfriend's family's Christmas was going to be in Spain. And so I thought, well, let's just go around the long way and come via LA and New York and just suss it out. And I knew she'd love it when she got here because I've been here once before.
Okay.
And that was with my band. So I really didn't get to spend a lot of time in New York. I was only here for 3 nights, but... like, I love this place.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we just decided to tack on LA and then New York. And then part of that for me was just I was scheming and hoping to get an NBA game in, which I managed to do. Well, yeah. I haven't gone yet, but I've managed to get tickets to that. So I was stoked that the Knicks were in town the week that we're here.
That is a lucky break.
Yeah.
And then you got tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, because I was on it pretty early.
Yeah, admittedly. Well, yeah, you have to be, right? Like, as soon as the tickets come out, you have to be like, I'm going to that game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Particularly because it's against the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that would be a fairly popular game to go to.
Oh, my God. It's going to be packed and rowdy as hell.
Yeah.
Those tickets must not have been cheap.
No, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah. I can imagine. And I was almost going to say you get to see Deli, but I just remembered he's not on the team anymore. He's not on the Cavs anymore.
Yeah, I know. I would have liked to have seen him, but at the same time, I'll just have to settle with Kyrie, LeBron. Yeah,
LeBron.
Yeah.
Kevin Love.
KP.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, KP, dude, I want to see that kid play so bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because I don't really have a proper, I don't know what the word is. I'm bad with words today.
It's all right. It's fine.
Yeah.
New York will do that. They take all the words right out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's taking everything right out of me. Understanding for how athletic and, you know, supreme these guys are in terms of their ability and mixed with their size. And I think KP is one of those guys, along with LeBron, that is going to be truly amazing to see in the flesh because if the dude really is 7'3", like, for starters, I haven't seen many people in my life that tall. Well, let alone someone that can do that. On TV, it kind of looks normal-ish.
Right, right. You see the guys, and they're all around the same size. So they could be our size, right? But they're not. But, like, for me, I've seen LeBron play. I saw him in, I think, the first year he was with the Heat. I actually went back down to Philly and saw a game. But I was so far up in the bleachers, like, you can't tell anyway. I'm like, oh, that's a LeBron, but I can barely see which one he is. Because, you know, but...
And that's why my tickets are expensive, because I was like, I could get tickets right at the back, or I could just get tickets right at the front. Like, not like right at the front, but not in the bleachers. And I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to do it.
That's awesome.
It's potentially a once in a lifetime to see some of these guys. So for me, and that's the thing. So I was like, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially if you've never, like, we're jumping around here a little bit, but you've never seen an NBA game before, right?
No. I saw Magic Johnson play in Australia. He brought a... I think it was after he retired the first time. So it was between him retiring and coming back for that season.
Mm-hmm.
He came to Australia and brought like an all-star team, which was just like random guys from college and some other retired pros. And he played against... He just did like a tour and he played against a whole bunch of teams. And that I think we saw him play against Sydney Kings, I think it was. Or it was some sort of hybrid Australian team anyway. And the game went into overtime, and Magic Johnson hit the game-winning shot. It was awesome. I was so young. So that's the closest I've come to NBA, which is obviously a fair distance from it.
Yeah, but it's still, like, you get sort of the experience. But, yeah, man, it's, like, so I had a friend who worked for the NBA. And this was a couple of years ago. She used to get, like, comped tickets all the time. And she'd be like, you want to go to see a game? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to go see a game. So I got to go to a couple of years ago. I got to see a lot of NBA. You know, went to the Garden a few times and I saw Boogie play. And we were like really close. That dude is a giant.
Yeah.
Like, and he's not even as big as Kristaps is.
Yeah.
So, and just to see the guys, like when you see them and you're that close and you're like, this is a human being. Like, first of all, let's start with the fact that this is a human being that's that big. Like, it doesn't make sense. And then to see them do things that, like, at 5'9", I couldn't do. You know what I mean? It's insane. Like, there's no way I could make cuts the way some of these guys do. And, like, it's just crazy. They're like, I was saying last week, they're like, these are the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the most gifted athletes in the world.
Yeah.
And to watch it live, it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah. And I guess it's interesting that you say that, because we do give some players in the NBA so much slack. Like, we basically call some people trash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, but they're in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Even if you're like sort of just like scratching for game time, you're doing all right.
He's not bad. He's not bad. Meanwhile, if you're ever in a pickup game with that guy, he's going to beat your entire team by himself. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I saw some pickup games on Venice Beach, actually. It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Man, those kids really go for it.
Oh, hey? Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure I saw a fight just about to break out. Like, I got out of there. I'm scared of American violence. So that's the one thing I would say from Australia. I was just like, I just want to come back in one piece, man. Like,
you're fine. You're going to be fine. So I was talking to my friend at work, who's also Australian. He's like, well, where's he from? You're from Sydney, right?
Yeah.
He's like, Sydney? He's like, that dude's got more violence in Sydney than we got in Brooklyn. I was like, really? Oh, he's like, yeah, please. They'll stab you there. I'm like, yeah, okay. So you're fine. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
No, I feel safe and cozy. It's good. This is actually a pretty nice neighborhood, Joe.
Yeah, it's a really nice neighborhood. Don't tell anybody, because they're all trying to flock in. They're like, I don't want anybody to know where I live. Gentrification is a real thing, man, and it destroys everything. Anyway, so we're talking about, like, sorry. I mean, you know what? I can edit any of this out if we have a little lull or whatever.
You say that every time, and you always leave it in.
Yeah, I know. You know, I used to work so hard on editing things out, and then believe me, I think one of the reasons I don't have a partner anymore, or I know one of the reasons, is because I edited some stuff out that I said that was pretty bad, and he wanted to keep in, and... You know.
Ah, so that's why that was the reason for the split.
There was a lot of reasons for the split. Mostly he's busy. And
what did Mike look like? Because do you want me to explain what I think?
Yeah, anyway? Please do. Please do.
I reckon he was kind of like shortish.
Nope.
Like a little bit chubby, and has like a big beard, like almost like Zach Galifianakis-ish.
You know what? That man has a masterful beard when he wants to. He's been shaving for a while, but he's a big dude. He's like 6'1". and he's like a brute.
Oh, really? So yeah. He's like a linebacker?
Sort of. I think he played linebacker in high school, yeah. He's like one of the most intelligent people I know.
Oh, yeah. He was funny and smart for sure.
Yeah, yeah. He always put me to, you know, he's embarrassed me with his intelligence. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I have the gift of gab, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, he just he's busy.
So I was right on the beard thing, though.
Yeah, you're right on the beard.
He sounded like he had a beard.
He does sound like he has a beard, yeah. I miss him sometimes. Hopefully he doesn't listen, so he won't know this. But yeah, enough about the old podcast. This is the new one.
This is the new and improved.
I don't know if it's improved, but the intelligence quotient has definitely dropped a few points. But, you know, and probably the humor. But whatever, I'm still doing it.
You got to still do it.
You got to do it. You got to always record, I guess.
Well, you got this set up. For those of you at home, this is pretty nice. We're in like a, what could be considered a studio. There's guitars hanging on the wall. It's nice.
Thanks. It actually was an art studio because I'm a master's of art. I have an MFA in fine art. So when we moved in here, this was supposed to be my art studio. I'm talking way too much about my personal life right now.
So when you say art, do you mean like... So were you, like, did you used to draw, paint?
Yeah, all of it. Like, above? See that head over there sculpted on the...
Oh, wow.
That's part of a sculpture that I did.
What happened to the rest of it? You just kept the head?
Yeah, I just kept the head.
That's kind of twisted.
Yeah. And then there's some paintings on the floor behind you that are old work that I'm probably going to paint over. Maybe I'll gift one to you and you can take it home with you.
Oh, oh shit,
yeah. You see why I'm painting over it?
Yeah, man. I also see why all my fears are justified.
So when he's looking at a painting of a knife
that's with a text attached that just says get some.
This is an old painting. It was about the I guess when Bush was in office. I feel like he sold out the middle class in the United States. Like, industry went away. I don't know. I had different thoughts about this stuff then, but it was more about like the destruction of the middle class. And so I did a bunch of tool paintings and some text to go with them.
Yeah. That's the thing. Context is everything.
Yeah. It didn't convey the way I wanted to. Everybody, it was also like a little bit after 9/11 and everybody's like, oh my God, is that a knife that they used to take down planes? I'm like, okay, I'm putting this one away.
Heavy.
Yeah. Not good.
So. At least it's provocative. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, definitely provocative. Yeah. We should talk more about the NBA.
Yeah. Seems like, yeah, that's what we're into.
Yeah, man. You know what? Let's talk about some Australian players.
Okay. Yeah.
Who do you want to talk about? Go ahead. Give me your favorite player to watch right now.
I'm pretty obsessed with Dante Exum, and I shouldn't be. Because at the moment, he stinks.
Yeah, he killed my fantasy team.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of him.
But I think there's something about him that I think a lot of Australians can really sort of relate to. He's just come through the AIS, which is our, like, it's called the Australian Institute of Sport. So he never really played high school or college basketball. He just jumped straight into the NBA.
Okay.
at 18.
That's crazy.
And so, you know, I guess the potential for him to be like a star is there. You know, the talent scouts from Utah are pretty good scouts, and they took him with a fifth pick. So, but he's just had such a rocky start to his career. You know, he had a decent-ish rookie season, even though by the numbers he was the worst rookie in the history of the NBA.
Really?
Yeah, I think his win share totals were like literally like the worst ever. He had the worst ever free throw attempt rate.
Oh, okay.
So basically he was one of the most timid players that ever played the game.
Right.
But this stuff all kind of makes sense for, you know, this is a kid that's come straight out of Australia and put straight into the NBA. And he was actually a starter for 41 of the 82 games. Played every single game, all 82. And then, you know, as everyone's expecting him to make a big leap, he goes and tears the ACL.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I think the reason why it's really tough, I mean, it's tough for anyone. So Jabari Parker did it too, and he's in the same rookie class as Exum. Mm. And he's come back, and slowly but surely, he's starting to really look good now. And, you know, with Dante, he missed the whole season. And that was a season that the Jazz kind of struggled, and they're always going to struggle. Even though they had lofty expectations, they thought they could make the playoffs. They realistically probably weren't good enough. And Exum should have been developing that whole year and turning into like a real solid piece for them now, but obviously he missed that. Gordon Hayward's free agency is coming up, so they basically are in win now mode. They go and get George Hill. They already had Shelvin Mack. So it's one of those things. It's like basically he's just being pushed, like his developmental minutes have been basically pushed aside.
Right.
And so when he is in the game, he's expected to perform. And you can just see he's trying his best. He's doing everything that he can, but he's just not good enough yet.
Right. And how old is he? He's like 20?
He's 21 now.
Oh, he's 21 now. Yeah, he's still so young.
He is still so young, and he has missed a lot of time, but all of a sudden you start to see other players around the same age, like just kind of, like he's young, but I mean, he's older than Devin Booker.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's the same age as Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
So there's some other players.
But he's Giannis, for starters, Giannis never got injured like that.
No.
And that takes, man, can you imagine tearing your ACL? I went for a 5-mile run this morning. My calf hurts. And I'm like, I can't run anymore. I got to stop.
5 miles.
Well, yeah. I usually do 7. I was down a little bit today. but I can't even imagine if your whole life is based around your athletic ability and you tear your ACL or something, like, forget it, man. It's going to take you a while to come back from that. Like,
yeah.
And this is the thing that, like, even, 10 years ago, guys did not come back from that injury.
No.
They just didn't come back.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that probably has a lot to do with, he's probably still recovering from that.
I think he definitely is. I think the question is he going to be given a chance in this Jazz team or not? And it's really interesting. Like he started the other night and I watched the first half and he had a really good half. He scored 10 points. He's getting to the basket. He's making all these free throws. But then he's had like a little bit of a mishap. Like he sort of hurt his knee a little. It wasn't anything too serious, but then he just couldn't get back into the game. Once George Hill gets back, I think he'll go back to being the third string. So it's tough, man. Like, but that, I mean, that's real life, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so there's just the part of me that wonders whether he's ever going to make it. And there's another part of me that hopes that one day he's going to be a star. So that, out of all the Aussie players, I'm kind of focused on him most. If Ben Simmons was playing, I think I'd be equally as focused on him. Guys like Dele and Patty Mills and Bogut, they're kind of like veterans now, you know? They're established in their role. It's been interesting watching Dele because he's starting now for the Bucks, and they're just starting to really come good.
Yeah.
And he's starting to probably just grow into his potential, which is, I think it's capped is what it is right now. I don't think he's going to get much better than what he is right now, but
his game doesn't even really make sense to me. He seems like, seriously, I don't know how he's succeeding. And, you know, Brett Brown was his coach in Australia.
Yeah.
So he talked about, like, Dele was the hardest person he's ever had to cut. He's like, that's the hardest cut I've ever had to make because he cut him off the Australian national team. I don't know if you know about this.
Yeah.
And I guess he just found a way to succeed, but I think it's just as a result of him trying really hard. Like, he just puts his heart into it because his game doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. He's a little bit flat-footed. He just tries really hard, you know what I mean? And I love that about some players.
Yeah.
He's overcoming the lack of physical, you know, attributes by his will and his intelligence, obviously. So good for him, man. But I do think you're right. I think he's basically at the point where he's capped out.
Yeah.
He is who he's going to be.
Which is still not a bad thing. Like, I guess on that Bucks team, they kind of need someone like him, right? Because
for sure,
all the rest of them are just freakishly athletic,
long, really tall dudes. Yeah.
Whereas, Dele can kind of, I suppose, settle it down, and he makes good passes, he makes good plays, he makes good reads.
Yeah.
and I think learning off Jason Kidd is just like that's a real blessing for him because. Yeah, I mean, he could so easily be in a position where he's second or third string point guard on a team with a coach that isn't a future Hall of Fame.
Right.
One of the greatest point guards in the history of the NBA. So he's got some stuff going for him.
That's true. And isn't it funny how we all thought, like, when Michael Carter-Williams got traded to the Bucks, everyone was like, yeah, that's Jason Kidd's type of... Michael Carter-Williams is Jason Kidd as a younger version. Actually, it's more like Dele, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't know what the go is with Michael Carter-Williams. I mean, you should be able to fill me in, right? He's the Philadelphia... Yeah, everyone from Philly... Okay, explain to me this, because I'm a bandwagon Philly fan, right?
Okay.
Because I'm coming on along with Ben Simmons. I'll admit that right here.
Welcome aboard.
My hand's up.
Your hand is way up.
But people from Philadelphia, think Michael Carter Williams sucks, yet they think Nolan's Noel is awesome. Like, explain that
to
me.
Oh my God, are you serious? I can explain it to you really quickly.
Explain it to me.
Defense.
Okay. Yeah. So Carter Williams doesn't play any D?
No. Well, he's not that bad, but like...
But Nerlens
Noel is, yeah, he's born with that innate ability to be at the basket and out on the perimeter at the same time. Like, he can cover the entire floor. He changes the other team's game by being a shot blocker and being able to cover everything. He's in the same way as Joel Embiid is able to, like, be at the rim and then out at the perimeter guarding guys with... It's the same thing, man. Their athletic ability, their quickness, and they're just understanding where to be at the right point in the game to stop things from coming in the lane. You can teach that, but it takes a long time. And he's come in with that ability right off the bat. Plus he's a jumping bean. Like, he plays above the rim. He's so much fun to watch. Oh my God, I want him to come back and get rid of Okafor.
Are you worried about the injury or?
No.
You think it's just a bit of a smokescreen to keep him? Because they're obviously shopping him.
Well, he's upset because they have at least three centers on the team now. Rashawn Holmes is there too, who has potential I really like. But Narlin sees that he should be a starting center in the NBA. And now they have Okafor. And Joel Embiid's back. And it's like, there's too many guys at that spot. What are you going to do? And so he's pissed. And I think it's a little bit of sour grapes. I don't really blame him, you know? But he's also, I think, handling it the wrong way. He needs to come back in.
If he could come back in and play the way that you're explaining to me, surely he'd get that starting job. I think Embiid could play the four. If he had to.
Yeah.
Because he can stretch the floor. Oh, actually, he's probably not quite quick enough, is he?
That's the thing. I think his athleticism is still coming back a bit from those foot injuries.
Look, I guess what it always comes around in a circle for me when I think about Nerlens, and it's like, as long as Embiid's healthy, you really don't need him.
Right. But that's the thing. What if Embiid is not healthy?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been until now. You know what I mean? For 2 years, he sat on the bench. And it's scary, man, when you're talking about foot injuries like that. Most big guys don't ever come back from a foot injury.
And that's why we're all so upset about the Ben Simmons injury, because it's that same Jones fracture.
I know. No, is it? Yeah, I guess it is.
It was a Jones. But see, they're saying...
Well, it was a little bit different than Embiid's.
It's a little bit different because it's not stress-related.
Right.
It happened just in a...
It was a freak in an accident. Instance. Yeah.
So I guess that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I guess. It means it's not likely to happen again, right? I don't know. I get the silver lining in his injury,
I'm really hoping that... like I said, bandwagon Sixers fan. I really hope that they trade both Okafor and Nerlens for someone... I don't even know who. But because that allows room for Ben Simmons to come and play starters minutes. See, I've been hearing that they're going to play him at the four. But I don't like it. I think he needs to start at the four.
I think he would be good on offense as the point guard. But on defense, I don't think he's going to be able to cover people like Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul and
Exactly. I think that if they put him genuinely at the one, they're going to have real problems up the other end.
Right.
Like you say, on offense. But I think on offense, they can create a system that suits your skill set.
For sure.
He can handle the ball a ton.
Yeah.
That's fine. But, on defense, I think he needs to play the four or even the five. I think he'd be an awesome small ball five.
He would be an awesome small ball five. I totally agree with you. I was just thinking about the thing about this, though. Imagine this lineup. If you start him at the one and you have Embiid on the floor and whoever they put at power forward, maybe it's, Dario or maybe...
Ilyasova.
Well, he's starting now, right? But think about the size of that lineup, man.
Yeah.
How are you going to shoot around those guys? But then again, you'll be able to drive around them. Like,
well, I think you're right. I think if Ben Simmons is at the one, but Embiid's at the five, maybe they will. Maybe they'll actually funnel guys in. Like, let's just give the small guys a lane.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not many people are shooting very effectively around the rim with Embiid in the game. He's really affecting people's shots.
Do you know when he's on the floor, the Sixers have, I think, the number two overall defense? And when he's off, they're 30th.
That's amazing.
It's insane.
I must admit, I'm not fully up to scratch with the numbers, but I do know that Joel Embiid actually has a positive plus minus.
Yeah, for a rookie.
which is insane because he plays for Philadelphia, who have been spanked.
Yeah.
They've won a few games, right? But like, every single other player in the team has got a negative plus minus rating. And Embiid actually, so the minutes he's played, they've won throughout the season so far. I mean, that's incredible. I think to me, that's one of the most impressive stats that he's had so far this year.
It's pretty incredible.
Because
it's
just not meaningless numbers, you know. If he's plus minus, he's actually positive. That means that all this hype and all these points and rebounds per game, blocks per game, whatever, there's plenty of players that put up numbers on losing teams, but right. Embiid's actually affecting the game.
The outcome, yeah. Or at least while he's in there, yeah.
Yeah, while he's in there.
No, it's true. I mean, like, there's so much noise in numbers. I don't really get into the numbers that much. I do, but I'm like, honestly, I have no idea how to search for what I need. I'm like, I'm just really dumb when it comes to finding like these stats on the internet. I'm like, I don't know. Basketball Reference has too much stuff, man.
Yeah, I know. You can go into too much detail there.
Oh my God, it's a rabbit hole. You just get stuck going down that hole for hours. But you know, speaking of Embiid, we should talk about this real quick. Our podcasts have a bet.
Yeah. Wow.
So I guess you guys are betting that Embiid is going to, and I'm starting to come around the other way. I don't know why I went this way, but you're betting that he's going to make the All-Star team as a rookie.
Well, we're betting with you that, yeah.
Yeah.
But whether or not we actually believe it, I don't know if we believe it, but we're going through there.
You should, because I'm starting to come around. I'm like, he could actually be an All-Star as a rookie. He's that freaking good. And I'm like, because I just didn't think he was going to get enough minutes, but they just bumped his minutes up to 28. I didn't think he was going to have this big of an impact on the team when he's playing. And he's the only real player they have on the team right now. I mean, you know, they got other guys, but he's like legit. He changes their team completely.
And I think he's, because of his personality, I think he's going to really make noise during the voting process.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we're good enough votes to be a starter, but if he's in the top, let's say seven, for the whole East, it'd be pretty hard to leave him out, you know. I think the coaches will definitely look at him. And you look at the other players in his position, Hassan Whiteside, well, I mean, he's doing pretty well, but the Heat aren't.
Right.
So it's not like you've got to sort of honour the Heat. Even Dwight Howard, but then Atlanta have lost like 9 of their last 10 games or something like that. So
something like that, yeah.
They've been losing. And he's been playing pretty average. So, yeah, there's not like a whole bunch of players in his position that you could just clearly say they have to be in it. I mean, Detroit aren't doing too well. I think they'll start to do a bit better now.
I think they're actually on a pretty good winning streak right now, so I would definitely count Drummond in there.
Yeah, I think Drummond's probably... I mean, Detroit are going to have someone in there, I think, because they made the playoffs last year. They're likely to make it again. I think they need an all-star.
Yeah, for sure. Ish Smith. I'm voting Ish.
He did pretty good for you guys last year.
He did. You know, I've got this irrational love for Ish Smith, but yeah, he's definitely not an all-star.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you've got to be able to shoot at least a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that not having the actual center position in the all-star game anymore kind of hurts him.
Yeah, definitely. Because there's a ton of, like, star forwards.
Right. Like Kevin Love is definitely getting in. There's no two ways about it. Right?
Yeah, he's... Well, yeah.
And he would be a power forward, right? But then it's just forwards now. So, like, you know.
See, isn't it? You got like Carmelo Anthony. He's almost a given.
Right.
Whether or not he deserves it. I mean, I'd be pretty pissed if he got in over KP.
Yeah. I mean, there's the other one. KP's definitely... I would... If he doesn't get in, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
He's putting up really good numbers this year so far. Just, he's making a huge difference on that team. Speaking of, you're going to see them play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That should be fun. They're on a big winning streak too.
Yeah, the Knicks are starting to do well.
Yeah.
And the Cavs are starting to sort of
fall off a little bit, right? They lost like three in a row, I think.
They lost three in a row. They had a really easy schedule to begin the season. So I think they're finally just sort of run into some teams that can challenge them. And I mean, yeah, they've lost. I mean, the Bucks game was probably a bit of a shock, but the Bucks really just blew them off the court.
They wanted that game for sure.
Yep.
I think what we're seeing so far is like Cleveland. I almost said Miami. I keep going. Cleveland, I think, is just mailing it in at a little bit right now. They're like, yeah, we know we're good. We can coast because there's nobody in the East that's going to challenge us.
Yeah.
But they should watch how much they do that because it could come and bite them in the ass.
Yeah, I think they really will need home court advantage if they're going to repeat for sure, because those teams out West, they're good. I'm not sure who's going to come out. I thought it was going to be the Warriors for sure, but now I'm thinking, man, the Spurs and the Clippers both look pretty good.
Yeah.
Even if the Jazz got healthy, they might upset somebody.
I'm not counting on the Jazz. Everybody was stoked on the Jazz. I'm like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Like, eh.
Yeah, I don't think that they're serious contenders, but I do think they've got enough in them to potentially cause an upset in the first round.
Yeah.
If they can get that sort of... I could see them taking out OKC. Or...
Oh, yeah. That I could see happening because...
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, Russell Westbrook is insane, man.
On a 5 straight triple doubles?
Yeah, I know. It's insane. Like, what is he doing? Calm down, man. You're making everybody else look bad.
If they keep winning and he keeps putting up those kind of numbers, I mean, yeah. I mean, we thought last year was something with the 73 wins and Cleveland coming back from 3-1. But to see a guy average a triple double throughout the entire season.
It's not been done since Oscar Robertson, right?
I didn't think I'd see that.
We're getting off topic.
we started with my favorite Aussie players, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Where were we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just edit this out. By the way, is Baines not Australian? Because I saw something that he was Australian, and then I think you guys said he's a Kiwi. So I...
We just have a bit of a joke with... With New Zealanders, but yeah, look, he was born in New Zealand.
Oh, so he is New Zealander.
But no, but he moved to Australia and he's a naturalized Australian. And he actually plays for our national team.
Oh, okay.
So
he's both.
Yeah, he's both.
He lives in two worlds.
He's a Kiwi when it suits us,
right?
And he's Australian when it suits us.
Got it.
So yeah, I really wish that Stephen Adams was like, I would trade him for Stephen Adams in a heartbeat if we could.
Yeah.
Because he's a true blue
right
Kiwi.
Yeah.
He's
got like 18 kids in his family, right?
Yeah, he's one of 18 kids. He wants no part of being an Australian. It's an ongoing kind of joke between us because they're obviously like geographically a lot smaller than us,
mm-hmm, right?
But they do produce like some pretty amazing things and people, athletes, actors, and anyone that's any good, we just claim.
They're ours. Close enough.
Until they, you know, it's like for instance, like Russell Crowe is like. When he was like really famous and he was doing all these great movies, it was like, yeah, he's an Australian actor. And then as soon as he had a spaz and threw his phone across the room and hit somebody, we're like, yeah, he's a New Zealander.
We don't know that guy. He's not one of us. That's funny. Well, you know, it's funny because I tweeted out about Baines. Like, you just see his hair and he's got that mask on and everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, this was before I realized he was Australian. I was like, well, it looks like he's going for like the Mad Max look.
Oh, man.
And then I realized like, oh, he is Australian. He really is going for that look.
He's probably got some of the worst hair in the league. Don't you
reckon? God, it's awful.
I can't believe it's, I don't know if it's him or Alfred Payton that I can't see him.
I was watching the Magic game last night. Alfred Payton's hair is out of control, man. Like, just stop it already. What are you doing?
I just want to get some scissors and just hack at it. So bad.
It was great at first, like when it was a little bit shorter and it wasn't just like it's sort of like a pompadour, right? Like this gigantic pompadour on the front of his head, but it's just gross. It's just like this.
I was watching a game the other day. I can't remember who they were playing against, but Magic were playing, and I think my dad might have walked past and just said, "Oh, what's the go with that guy's hair? Look at that guy's hair!" Like that, he obviously doesn't like basketball that much. That was his comment of the whole game. It's not like, not look at the play, not look at this. It's like, look at that guy's hair.
Yeah, I mean, you can't not notice it. So that was it. He was done with basketball right there. He's like, I'm not watching a sport where this guy's allowed to have that hair.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, speaking of, and we touched on this a little bit ago, but what about Ben Simmons? How excited are you for him to come back? Because I know I am.
Oh, I'm super excited. I mean, watching the NBA and thinking about his game, I start to wonder how and where he can fit in. And I really think that playing alongside Embiid is going to be amazing for him. I think Embiid's going to like it too.
Yeah.
But Embiid's great regardless. But I think that having somebody like that who's established now, and I think, you know, Embiid's going to cover a lot of what Ben Simmons doesn't do well, I think. And it's going to also allow Ben Simmons to do what he does do well even better, because when he gets into the lane, which he can at will,
yeah,
he's going to have, what do you want, option A or option B? Ben Simmons finishing with either hand or dumping it off with a brilliant pass to Embiid.
Yeah. And his passing is the thing that, like, I'm so excited to see.
Yeah.
He can pass, like, I mean, in Summer League, I don't know if you guys got Summer League.
Yeah, we do.
I was just watching him in Summer League. And against, you know, against lesser talent.
Yep.
But man, he was making the most brilliant passes I've ever seen. I was like, holy shit, how did he do that?
Yeah, I know.
You know, and it's like Magic Johnson, I guess.
He can see angles that most people can't see.
It's crazy.
He has just a real burst of speed. Like when he grabs that rebound and goes, mm-hmm. it's just like, whew.
Yeah. He's like deceptively fast too. Like he looks like he's moving a lot slower than he is. And I think it's just because he's so big and probably takes pretty big strides.
Yeah.
But he's quick to the rim, man. Yeah. I don't know. I was so bummed out when he hurt his foot. I was like, no.
Yeah, no.
Of course this happens. It's
so Philly, right?
It's so Philly. Yeah, no, I should be a Knicks fan or something, but you know, they usually suck, so.
At least you're not a Lakers fan.
Oh god, yeah.
Actually, when I was in LA, I actually bought a Lakers, like this vintage big Lakers jacket. Like it's awesome.
Really?
But I was like, oh man, it does say Lakers on it, but whatever. It was only $40. I actually wanted to wear it here just to stir you up.
It would have worked. I mean, it's fine. You know, like I was telling like Damon Rangulo, who's been on the podcast before. Yeah. He's a Lakers guy and he writes about the Lakers and stuff. And I, you know, historically, I hate the Lakers franchise just because they win all the time. And like, and by the way, Kobe ripped my heart out. Kobe and Shaq ripped my heart out in 2001. That was awful.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, how excited were you after game one of that series?
Oh my God. So excited.
Was that the peak of?
Yeah, pretty much.
That must have been the peak of Philadelphia basketball, right?
'83, but yeah.
Apart from back in the day.
Right. But since I can remember, since I'm like, you know, in '83, I was just a little kid. Yeah, man, it was insane. I mean, I think the thing about it is that the Lakers had such a great team.
Yeah.
And Philly was obviously the underdog. A lot of people said they shouldn't even be in the championship. And when we're like, you know, they have no chance. They're not going to nothing's going to happen. They're going to get swept. It's fine.
Yeah.
But we're happy they're there. They went out and
game one,
Iverson took them on his back and just the Tyronn Lue step over. Yeah. Oh my God. It was the most brilliant performance I've ever seen. Like to this day, it's still burning my memory.
Yeah.
It was maybe the highlight of my sports fandom. And I'm a Steelers fan. Don't tell anybody, but so I've got to see a few championships and I'm like, that's awesome. But that was so good. And then of course, the next three or four games, they just came out and stomped them. But yeah, we had the one game. Everybody was believing for a hot second. It was amazing.
Man. Yeah, I think it's funny when I think about that because I think, is this the group that's going to get Philly back there? You know, Simmons, Embiid. I think it's the start of something.
It's a good start. I think there's still a few pieces away. I would love to see them get rid of Okafor and keep Noel either coming off the bench or, you know, definitely he'd have to come off the bench. I don't see a way him and Embiid could work together on the floor. Just because, you know, Noel, he's great. I love his defense. I mean, if those two were on the floor together, you're talking like nobody's getting in the lane. Yeah. Nobody's dunking on them, period. Well, it would probably happen still, but
yeah,
they'd have an incredible defense. Yeah. But Noel can't stretch the floor at all. Like he's an around-the-rim player and that's it.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have somebody in there. But I would love to see them get rid of Okafor because Okafor sucks. I'm just saying.
Oh,
his defense is his turnstile. The other night they were playing, who was it they were playing? Oh my God, I can't remember. But they kept putting him in the pick and roll. And like every time if you watch the Sixers and you watch Okafor come in, they just put him in the pick and roll every time and just drive right around him. It was Boston. They were up leading Boston. They lost by like 4 points at the end because Isaiah Thomas just kept right around him. Like, come on, dude. You're killing him.
Embiid didn't play that game, did he?
No. Or did he? I think he did.
It's funny. Since I've been in your country, I barely found enough time to watch any basketball, which you think would be the opposite.
Yeah. No,
but
not
I've just been, yeah, it's the games kind of just come and go. And that's the other thing I've noticed that I find strange is that, so with the scheduling, is it more in thought of the West Coast or the East Coast? Because, like, over there, the games are on kind of early. Like,
I think it's...
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I remember I just got out to dinner one night about maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I put on my NBA app, and half the games are finished.
Yeah. I mean, I think most things start, like, East Coast time. Like, they start no earlier than, like, 7, right?
Okay.
Or 6:30 or
something. So East Coast is the big
it's
draw.
Well... I mean, I think so, yeah. I think it's the bigger draw than the West Coast, which is weird because the West is just so much better. yeah. But it's not even that. I think it's just a matter of, like, you can't put... Like, if you put a game on at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast, like, it's going to be so early on the West Coast. It'll be 1 o'clock. Nobody's going to see it then, and nobody will see it here either because they'll all be at work. So you have to start at a time like when people get out of work. And at least on the West Coast, if it starts at 7 here, it's what? Four?
Yeah.
How do you know that before I do?
Because I've just come from there.
Okay, good point. You know, I've never been to LA.
Really?
Seriously. It's a big country and I don't get out much.
Man, so I've been to LA and you haven't been to LA.
I've never been to Australia either, but I would love to go.
Yeah, you should come.
Yeah. Maybe I'll talk to my wife. I'll tell you what. We'll get tickets.
Yeah.
If we do come down, if we ever do come down, I will totally let you know.
Yeah, for sure. You can stay. We'll hook you up if you need accommodation.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. But definitely a podcast would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. We'll have you on the podcast in the flesh.
Nice. Are we still going to do like a Laverne and Shirley, like Happy Days crossover sort of thing where we... Does that make sense to you?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was just nodding to be polite.
I should have asked. It's like a 70s sitcom TV thing where never mind. You'll have to look it up. It's a really bad thing. Yeah, we'll have to do like a Fuzz Superflight, like Skype
thing. Oh, yeah, we can definitely. You have to teach us your ways.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have wily ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I barely know how to use the internet, man. I barely know how to do this. How are we doing on time? Well, pretty good. I don't know. You have anything else? I feel like we were all over the place. I think I'm just more happy that somebody's in the studio hanging out with me.
Yeah. No, I think that's about it. I'm pretty excited to see the Knicks and the Cavs play.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for the rest of the season. I would like to see what they do with Okafor and Nerlens. I think I'm pretty interested in that. I think that could, if there's this one thing that come out of this podcast, I think that discussion's kind of interesting. I wouldn't mind hearing who you'd like to get for Okafor or Nerlens.
Shit.
Like realistically though.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Realistically, they're not going to get much because both of their values are at all-time low right now. I mean, people were talking about CJ McCollum for Noel. That's never going to fucking happen. Like,
you'd have to throw in Ben Simmons.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to give them way... Like, I don't even think a pick would do it because they've already got too many guys. But I tell you what, I would like... I mean, if we're going to give up Noel and you want something in return, I wouldn't mind having, like, Alan Crabb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that Portland would be pretty willing to deal... one of their sort of four or five
they have guys
that are on like $20 million a year.
Seriously, they've wrapped up so much money. What they did this offseason didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me because I think everyone else was seeing that like their team's at what it's going to be. Like they're pretty much maxed out. You're giving these guys these contracts.
Unless they're planning on trading, doing a whole bunch of trades that we don't know about yet and they needed that kind of dollar value.
Yeah,
because, to match up. Yeah, because I mean, look, they could trade for Boogie. They could trade for Kevin Love.
That's true.
They could trade for... because they've got that.
Yeah.
And I mean, they can match the salary. You just never know. Maybe one of those teams want two or three sort of mid-tier players rather than that star. And that might be better than losing for nothing. But unless they're smarter than us. But if they're not, then...
I just assume everybody's smarter than me. So so anytime something happens, I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, can you imagine Portland getting Boogie? That would be insane. I don't think they could swing that, but...
Yeah, you just never know.
You never know. I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, if we're going to get rid of Noel, obviously the one of the two I would like to get rid of is Okafor, but I don't... Like, there's so many centers in the NBA right now. It's kind of a saturated position. I don't know who needs them, and I don't know what they would get. They're going to get less... of a return on their value than they would have.
I feel like Philly should probably do sort of a little package deal with Nick Stauskas right now because he's actually playing really well.
He is, I know.
And look, like, let's be honest. And I mean, if you put him, Nerlens, or him and Okafor together, or even the three of them, you might get back someone like Avery Bradley. I just think of someone that Philly need, you know. They need like a defensive-minded point guard that doesn't need the ball, that can shoot.
Right.
I mean, that would be perfect next to Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I would take Avery Bradley in a second. Ooh, that's a hard one to say.
we both cocked it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's saying like you say, it's what's realistic and what's not. That's going to be the question for Philly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just wait and see. I think I'm going to be disappointed regardless. I've kind of I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that, like, no matter what trade they get for Noel, I'm going to be disappointed because he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
Although he changed his hair, so I'll be less sad to see him go. I already missed the flat top, man. Have you seen his hair lately?
No, I haven't seen it.
It was so good. Standard. Before. It's just like he like twists a little bit and just like parted in the middle.
Oh, it's kind of like gone nice and.
Yeah,
hipstery.
Like, sort of, yeah. He's like, yeah, he went a little hipster. I don't like it. I love the flat top. Yeah, the flat top was so good. Cool. It was so good.
It was like a throwback haircut.
Totally. Yeah, he was rocking it, and who else was rocking it? Somebody else had it on. Was it Jaylen Brown? Does he do it? No, oh, there's the end music.
That's too cute.
Anyway, you know what? Maybe it's a good time to wrap it up. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and. Yeah, I guess plug your show one more time.
Okay, head over to thefuzznba.com and check it out.
And give your partner a shot quick.
Oh yeah, Byron James. I don't know what he's doing right now. It's probably something really weird.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.